This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Back in the spring, we explored New Hampshire's many town transfer stations with the writer Mike Morin and discovered they're not just places to deposit trash, but to connect with the community.
It is about conversation, and it's a very social setting. It's almost like a bar without the drinks.
And in our next story, the draw of the dump reaches even further, bringing the relationship of two neighbors to a whole new level. Here's Todd Bookman with more.
Caitlin Selby and Swift Corwin share 30 years of history. It's a history that started innocently enough with a new address.
We moved to Peterborough in about 1984, and Caitlin was about 11. No, she was about 10 years old at the time.
Nine. He and his wife and their newborn son moved in next to us on High Street. And we kind of shared a backyard.
Caitlin may have had a very rich and rewarding childhood before Swift, but as they tell it, life seems to have gotten a lot better after he arrived. His family quickly grew, and there were other kids from the block, and Caitlin and everybody, this whole pack of neighborhood friends, would romp around the connected backyards. As she grew up, Caitlin got closer to Swift's family, eventually becoming their babysitter. He taught her how to windsurf. His wife was her swim coach. Their lives were intertwined. So when Caitlin moved back to Peterborough at age 27, after college and marriage, there was some unseen force pulling her back to Swift. She and her husband wound up renting a house diagonal to the house Swift was now living in, and for 10 more years, they were again neighbors, spending a lot of time together.
One night, he was at our house watching TV. They didn't have TV at their house, so Swift would come to our house to watch TV and notoriously fall asleep every night in the same chair.
I was watching the Red Sox, and I was asleep watching the Red Sox. And
Beth, his wife, called frantically, screaming.
We had sheep in our backyard, these two sheep. And
the sheep in the pool, the sheep in the pool.
Then I got the, Swift, Swift, one of your sheep is in the pool.
The sheep in the pool, the sheep in the pool.
And I said, oh, God. And I sort of stumbled out of their house, and sure enough, when I got back, the sheep was out of the pool. My daughter had pulled it out by its horns. And anyway, we should have never had sheep in the middle of the town. It didn't work out very well.
The sheep are long gone by the time Caitlin moves. After spending half of her life living next to Swift, she finally cuts the cord and buys a home on the other side of the small downtown. But the connection, the pull between Swift and Caitlin, remains squarely in place, and it springs up again one Saturday morning.
So my daughter Lucy and I went to the dump to look for tapes for a birthday party we were going to, and we were supposed to bring tapes. So, you know, was looking through the swap shop like I normally do. And in between Wham and Sting was a copy of an old mixtape that just said Swift Corwin's poetry. And of course I grabbed it. And then my daughter Lucy and I put it in the tape player of our car and started listening to it. And I can get this to work.
Paintbrush wisps on orange gold feathers, clouds, the sky deepening its blue as night falls. Indian paintbrush and marsh marigolds, wildflowers along the way. A boy with handlebar streamers out to play, in summer's last light, school's first day ending.
It was just before my dad died. I got this idea to write this, or to make this tape to my parents, to my father in particular, because I'd had a kind of a hard time communicating with him. He'd actually had a stroke. And I thought that it would be a great thing to just write, to say this, some poems into this tape.
Where are all the girls to take home? Which ones will home make? Through the small New England town on the 5th of September.
And it was really amazing because the poetry was from the time in my life when I probably knew the Corwins the best. You know, 25 years ago when their kids were infants and I was babysitting all the time and we were sharing a backyard. So everything in the poetry sort of brought back that time in my life.
Beard envy. I wish my beard would stop growing. Not be dead, just stop growing. Cut it off and like the lawn in June after 3 inches of rain in the last 2 weeks. It grows back. Unlike my lawn.
So there's a full hour of these poems on the cassette, all first drafts and rough takes on Swift's life. It was a Christmas present to his parents, his ailing father. But it feels more like a Christmas card, the type that catches relatives up on the mundane happenings of the previous year. There's a poem about catalogs piling up on the Corwins' kitchen table, a strange one about a meal at a Chinese restaurant that doesn't go well, and a lot about his experiences as a forester.
The quiet chap of rain on broad leaves, only from time to time a drop reaching the forest floor.
They're an inner monologue laid out on tape, and the last Christmas gift Swift would give his dad, which makes its final resting place all the more puzzling.
No one can figure out how the tape ended up at the dump. His dad died shortly after he gave it to his parents, and his mother...
The cassette was with her, and then when she died, I don't know where the tape went or how it got into the universe, but it was just somehow circulating with somebody, and it ended up at the dump.
He still hasn't listened to the tape. I think he's... I'm not sure why he hasn't listened to it. There's something...
I'm nervous, too, because the thought of hearing my voice when I was 32 or 33 just gives me a little bit of a pause, and it's kind of like I feel... It's like time traveling.
These have been poems by Swift Corwin. Spoken to his parents. Christmas, 1990. I love you both.
Peterborough is a small enough town that if you spend enough time at the dump, this sort of thing is going to happen. And I think this is one of the reasons why people choose to live in places like this, to give yourself more opportunities to have these chance events.
I hate to say this, but I have been more spiritual in my life than I am right now. And if I were really spiritual, I would say that this is God bringing, you know, Caitlin to my tape and Caitlin bringing the tape back to me. Maybe it's my father helping this thing happening, and Caitlin's that conduit. I don't think I'm all that spiritual, so I'm hesitant to say that, but it is a very big coincidence. It's kind of a fun coincidence, actually.
For Word of Mouth, I'm Todd Bookman.